You would like to turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 1. I have titled this Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like for us to just consider this chapter. Just simply consider what our Lord has said to us through His apostle right here. Ephesians 1 verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is such a sweet introduction. God has a particular people. Saints, He calls them. That's a word that He gave to describe His people. Saints. Faithful in Christ Jesus, He calls them. That, I hear that and I think, what an unworthy title. Faithful in Christ Jesus. God has a particular people that He has known and He has loved and He has chosen. And this is what He's chosen for them. Verse 2 says, grace and peace. That's what He chose for them. A particular people, unworthy, but He chose them. He loved them. He knew them. And He said, this is what I purpose for them. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? Not cruelty because of our sin against Him, but grace. Not harshness in return for our sin against Him, but peace. Grace and peace through the payment of the blood of Christ. That song that we love so much, Complete in Thee. I love that song. It says, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Your blood bought my pardon. Your blood paid my price. That's the grace and the peace that is promised to God's people from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Like we quoted this morning from Job, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What an announcement. What is a spiritual blessing from God? He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the reason why. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What is a spiritual blessing from God? Well, he's about to tell us that election is. That was a spiritual blessing. What a blessing. All of God's people are crying, why me? Why me? It's a spiritual blessing. He's about to tell us that predestination is. Don't you love predestination? He's about to tell us that adoption is. You talk about a spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Adoption. He's about to tell us that acceptance is acceptance with God. Redemption is. Forgiveness is. Our eternal inheritance is. Everything from God is. Everything from God is. And he said, all of it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it. He is the object. He is the contact. He is the source. He's the place where God and man meet together. How do those blessings come to us? Where do we lay hold of the blessings? Where does all of this meet? It meets in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is where mercy and truth met. There was a truth on me and you. Wasn't good. And that truth was met when mercy came together in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the truth against us, God dealt with that mercifully in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is where righteousness and peace kissed each other. All of God's dealings with his people were in Christ. All of them, start to finish, always have been, always will be. All of God's dealings with his people were in Christ. He says right here, starting with election. Starting with election. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ. He did not choose us in ourselves. He chose us in Christ. That's how he chose us. There's no room for boasting. Paul kept saying that. Where's boasting in this? He didn't choose us in ourselves. He chose us in Christ. What that means is he didn't choose us because of ourselves. He chose us because of Christ. He didn't choose us because of what he saw in us. He chose us because of what he saw in Christ. That's the reason why. Men love to believe that God looked down and saw what man would do and made his choices accordingly, but that's not so. He didn't choose us because of anything in us. He chose us because of everything in Christ. Don't turn over there, but Isaiah 42, verse 1, God the Father said concerning Christ his Son, he said, behold my servant. I love that line. What he's saying is, look at him. Just look at him. That's what God the Father is saying. I want all eyes on him. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Father said there in Isaiah 42, I put my spirit upon him. I put it upon him. I choose him. I choose him. I have put the souls that I've purposed to save in him. They are elected. They are chosen because of him. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Nothing could be credited, nothing could be attributed to the souls that he chose, nothing. It was all done according to his will and his purpose before the foundation of the world. And this is what he elected them to before the foundation of the world. This is what all of God's people are elected unto. The end of verse 4 says, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That sounds so good to me. That sounds so good to me. Can you imagine God the Father looking at you and saying, holy, without blame? How can vile, wretched sinners like we are be holy and without blame before Him? How is that possible? He told us right there. Only in Christ. Only in the love of God. The love of God to us. All the love of God is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He predetermined us to be brought straight to Christ. Predestination means to limit in advance, to just limit and limit and limit until you reach the final point. And that's what God the Father did for us. He predestinated us. He predetermined everything about us to be brought straight to the Lord Jesus Christ unto adoption into His family. That's what we receive by coming and being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Adoption into His family, made to be a joint heir with the Son of God Himself. He paid for us. He signed for us, and He secured our standing in the family of God. In Christ, we're in the family of God. That's amazing. And verse 5 says, He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. All of it. All of it. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, to the praise of the glory of His grace. All to the praise of the glory of His grace. All of it. He made us accepted in the Beloved, Christ the Beloved. Now, I love this. That word accepted means, when you look it up, it means made acceptable, made graceful. It means made agreeable, endued with special honor. In Christ, we are made to be something that the holiness of God finds to be acceptable. In Christ, we're made to be that. When God the Father looks at us in Christ, He says, acceptable. Come on in. Come to Me. Acceptable. In Christ, as He is to God, we are to God. All according to the riches of His grace. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This is that grace from God that brings peace from God. Grace is a free gift that God gives. And this is the grace that brings the peace. Payment through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of all of our sins. You have a lot of sins on you, and so do I. We have accumulated them. We are accumulating. We will accumulate. And thank God Christ took them all, cradle to the grave, and forgave them all, redeemed them all, according to the riches of His grace, the riches, just indescribable riches. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Just so much more rich in grace. Verse 8 says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Don't turn, but over in 1 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul said, how can you know what's in the mind of another man if he doesn't tell you? That's what he said. How can you know what is in the mind, the heart, the spirit of another man if he doesn't reveal it to you? Well, he said, we have the mind of Christ because Christ has revealed it to us. He has lovingly revealed it to us. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received back up into glory. Verse 9 says, he's made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, I mean this. I'm in a strait betwixt the two because I know it's important to be here. I do. I know it's important. We need the gospel to be preached, and I have a family who needs me, and you do too, and we're brethren, and there's a purpose and there's a work. Souls need to hear this and be converted. God's sheep need to be called. There's a reason to be here, and I want to be here as long as he'd have me to be here. I want to be on this earth. But I have to be honest with you. I'm looking so forward to that. I'm looking so forward to the moment that Christ comes back and gathers all of us up together. Takes us back to glory. Reveals to us the eternal inheritance that he went to prepare for us. The things that our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, our hearts have never imagined. All the souls that the Father placed in Christ, when the fullness of time comes, he's going to gather every single one of them in him. I can't wait to know the physical experience of being in him. I know I'm in him now, but I'm talking about in that moment. He's going to gather all together in him, and he's going to present to them everything that he has promised to them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Christ secured for them. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It blesses my heart to hear how dogmatic God's word is. I love all things, not most things, not some things. I love the word purpose, not effort, not trying. Thank God for it. Hold your place right here and turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's the message. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We fell. We lost it. We died in sin. But he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He said, this inheritance comes with a lively hope, a living hope, a sure hope, secured by the fact that the Father raised Christ from the dead. That's how you know it's secure. He said, this inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it'll never fade away because it's reserved in heaven for you. All who are kept by the power of God. And this is what he said. Even though you're enduring trials, even though you're enduring so many temptations right now, so many troubles right now, here on this earth, he said, you can rejoice in the Christ who has secured it all for you, whom, having not seen, you love. You love him, don't you? You love him. Verse 18 right here says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's it, isn't it? Back in Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. For every soul that the Father chose to do this for, and the Son did this for, God the Spirit will call that soul to a notification of it, every one of them. There's a work of the Father, there is a work of the Son, there is a work of the Spirit. If any part of the work was not fulfilled, then it would be incomplete. It would not be a complete work. And as the Father chose God's people to salvation, and as the Son accomplished God's people to salvation, the Spirit will call God's people to salvation. The Spirit will notify all who were chosen of their accomplished salvation. Verse 13, he said, the word of the gospel will come and God's people will hear it, and they'll believe it, and they'll trust in it, and God will give each one of them faith to believe and trust in Christ. And he said that faith, that work of the Spirit in God's people, that is the evidence of their salvation. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That faith in Christ that God gives to his people. That's God's earnest to his people. Just like when you put earnest money down to buy a house. If you're going to purchase some real estate, you got to put earnest money down. And what you're doing is you're saying, I promise. I make a promise right here. I'll do this. I'm committing to this. I take responsibility for this. Well, that faith in Christ that God puts inside of his people is his earnest to them. Faith in Christ is not our earnest to him. That's his earnest to us. That's Him saying, I promise, I'll do this. This faith is your evidence. I'll do this. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, those who love Christ love His people. They do. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul said, I pray He might reveal Christ to you. Oh, I pray God might reveal Christ to us. I pray God might reveal Christ to us more and more. Have we seen enough of Him? Can we say, well, that's it, I've seen enough? No way. Never throughout all eternity will God's people say that. They will continually cry, more, more about the Lord Jesus. Tell me more, more about Him. More of His saving fullness. See, that's what I want. I want to see more of it. I want to hear more of His love who died for me. I sincerely pray we might grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you have a center reference there in your Bible, mine says right there in the knowledge of Him, it says for the acknowledgement of Him. For the acknowledgement. That in all things we might acknowledge Him. That's what God's people want to learn to do, and that's what they do. And that's what God reveals to them. Acknowledge Him in it. Acknowledge Him in it. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He said, this is my prayer. Paul said, this is my prayer. I pray that God would open our eyes to the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory, which is the exceeding greatness of His power, which He wrought in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead. He said, I pray God will reveal to us what that means. I pray God will cause us to see the finished work of Christ. If a sinner will ever get a hold of the finished work of Christ, that sinner will get a hold of God's salvation. The battle's over. The work is done. It's over. Christ is high and lifted up, He said. Verse 21, far above everything. Everything that is. Far above everything. And He said, His people, they are high and lifted up with Him. He hath put all things under His feet. That's what verse 22 said. And He's given Himself to be the head over all things to His church, His bride. Verse 23 says, which is His body. They are one with Him. They are one in Him. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That's what God's people have in Christ. That's what God's people have in Christ. And that's why Paul said back in verse 2, that's the whole reason he said, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We truly are a blessed people. You know that? I get a hold of that a little bit more every now and then. The Lord allows me to really enter into it. In spite of all of our woes, in spite of all of our troubles, in spite of all of our sicknesses, weaknesses, doubts and fears and frailties of every kind, sin, we truly are a blessed people. God's people truly are blessed in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to dismiss us in prayer.